long time ago, I saw a television show when I was a kid. My dad pulled me aside and said, hey, George, watch this, One Step Beyond. And it was a great show. I've got a copy of it back in Los Angeles, where this guy invents a pill, and he drops it into a gas tank of water, and it turns into liquid fuel. Can that be done? I mean, I've heard a couple guys in Europe have developed it, a couple scientists, and I've got an old friend, Dr. Morgus, who claims he's got a formula for it. I haven't seen anything on the table yet. What have you found?
Okay. Well, there's no pill yet, but we had a spot come through ABC, through our News One, which feeds out to the affiliates, and it was going out to the Midwest. This guy had come up with a way to convert water to hydrogen using very little current. And he was driving around in a dune buggy with a tank full of water and converting the water on the fly. Not carrying a tank of hydrogen, but converting it on the fly.
Now, that's an incredible piece of technology.
Yeah. You've got people out there are geniuses. They're doing stuff like this. Then I meet a guy in Philadelphia at one of my lectures. And this guy says, do you know if you pass electricity through aluminum, it becomes slightly radioactive? And I said, no, I didn't know that. And he said, that's the key to breaking the bonds. And he said, you can't put a high current through it because it won't work. It has to be a low current. He was using his hydrogen in combination with gasoline, getting good gas mileage. He said one day he ran out of gas, drove home on nothing but the hydrogen, but he could barely touch the accelerator or it would take off on him.
Oh, my.
There's a company called Ovonix. They've got a hydrogen storage system, a metal hydrogen storage system. They store it under 300 pounds of pressure instead of 5,000 or whatever it is that they need to really store hydrogen. They converted a 2004 Prius to run off of their hydrogen system. They can go 200 miles before they have to put hydrogen back in the system. But then there was another thing. They have an experimental vehicle that they were testing. They used the equivalent of 3/4 gallon of gasoline in hydrogen, and they drove this thing for over 3,000 miles.
Oh, my God. This is a U.S. company?
This was on Discoveries this week, I think. It's on the Science Channel. And there's a bunch of things out there. We had another thing come through. BMW, they're building a hydrogen engine, but they have a big thermos that they hold the hydrogen in.
They don't seem to be going fast enough, though, Keith. You know, they talk about, you know, it's 10 years out, even though, yeah, we have hybrids out there now.
They don't want to look. If you want to stop terrorism, get us off the oil, okay? Take the money out of the pockets who are the terrorists. Now, do you really think there was an oil shortage in 1974? So we got homegrown terrorists.
No, it was a manufactured oil shortage.
Do you think oil, gas had to go up to $3.60 and they make a $9 billion profit?
No,
don't
get me started on that thing.
Okay.
I mean, they raised the price and they lowered a little bit, and then we think we're getting a deal.
But there's guys out there that have inventions like this all over the place. Mr. Bush said, yeah, we're going to promote fuel cell cars. Reporter raises his hand. So where are we going to get the hydrogen from? Oh, we're going to get it from gasoline. Ding. Doesn't that tell you, hey, something's going on here? They're in bed with the oil companies. I told Ted Koppel, I said, Ted, I think the cigarette companies have a conspiracy going. This was before all the stuff broke, right? I said, Ted, I think they have a conspiracy going. Keith, do you really think the cigarette companies and tobacco companies all got together and got this big conspiracy going? I said, yeah, Ted, people are coming out of the woodwork blowing the whistle on these guys. The peons were blowing the whistle, but they had an excuse.
And he didn't believe it?
No. He said, the excuses were, oh, this guy over here is a disgruntled employee, this lady over here is trying to get money out of the company. I listened to the people, because 90% of the time, people try to do the right thing. It took a guy with the power, the prestige, and the reputation at the top to blow the whistle before the media even paid attention. And that's what the problem is. NASA has the power, the prestige, and the reputation, and nobody wants to listen to people like Richard Hoagland because, as far as they're concerned, he's a peon. And that's not right.
Well, you know better, I know better, and a lot of people that listen to this program know better, and one day he's going to get his day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We had another spot come through.
Now, when you say come through, you're talking about through the network, right?
Through the network. These are affiliate spots that go out to the local channels. And
then they run them on their local newscast, right?
Right. And the network, okay. And the network never touches some of this. Some of the times they do, but they never touch the stuff like that. Troy Reed created the Reed Magnetic Motor. This guy, Richard and I went out to visit him in Oklahoma. This guy is an inventing fool. He is one of those guys that's just my hero. You know?
He's a genius. He comes up with all kinds of ideas, but he doesn't know how to market, does he?
Well, I don't know where he's at right now, but he's got people that were trying to work with him. He created the Reed Magnetic Motor. This thing was a 7-foot-tall wooden device with these big flywheels, plywood flywheels. He cranked this thing up. He let it go. It would pick up speed, get to a speed that it wanted to run at, and keep running. He had a pulley with a fan belt. It went to a generator on the table. It generated about 60 volts, enough to run his Christmas tree lights, his drill, his vacuum, small appliances, and things like that.
A little bigger, he'd be able to run his whole house off it.
Well, he had to mechanically, physically stop this thing from running. Now, people go, oh, that's perpetual motion. There is no such thing. No, there is no perpetual motion except for the universe. But there is over-unity devices. And an over-unity device is not something that you get more out than what goes in, because that's the bad definition. The real definition is using a small amount of energy to tap into a larger source. We do it with the atomic bomb, where people go, well, you can't get more out than what goes in unless it's nuclear. George, do we live in a nuclear universe or do we live in an electromagnetic universe?
Well, we live in an electromagnetic universe, but
right.
we don't tap into it. Now, Nikola Tesla knew we had that.
There you go. So why are we doing things like we need water to live, we need water to drink, we need water to water our plants, water our animals.
Our crops.
Why aren't we pumping water out of the ocean and desalinating it and using it for drinking fuel and irrigation? Okay? We can't drink crude oil. We can't drink gasoline. And this planet is going to suffer a worldwide drought, and we won't be prepared. But if we start turning out billions of gallons a day, then we will be prepared when that hits. And it will happen because it happened before.